listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, surprise, surprise, we're going to talk cars. And we have Lance Butler coming in. He's starting a new auction. Interesting, online. Talk about some of the cars, some of the values, some of the events coming up. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policy. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already be saving you. So what are you waiting for? There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Get the savings and get going today. Visit geico.com to learn more. That is geico.com and save that 15%.
Hi, this is Chris Myers. For more than three decades, I've covered some of the biggest events in sports and talked with some of the most fascinating personalities. But now I want to invite you to join me for my new podcast, CMI, the Chris Myers Interview on Podcast One. Covered a lot of events, World Series, Red Sox, White Sox breaking through at their time, the Super Bowl as recently as Mahomes and the Chiefs coming back against the 49ers. I was there to grab Brady after he had that tremendous comeback against the Falcons in the Super Bowl, and some tough times, the 89 earthquake World Series that rocked the Bay Bridge, and first to talk to O.J. Simpson live after both of his trials, and on the air through the 1996 Atlanta Olympic bombings, informing people as best we could at the time. We'll go in-depth on stories past, present, and future to the effect of the world of sports and everybody in and around it, from current athletes, Hall of Famers, and some people you and I know. Hope you tune in to CMI, the Chris Myers Interview, on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. We're going to minute get on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. This is, what show is this?
This is CarCast.
CarCast.
You see me sitting here, right?
Yeah, I know. I do too many podcasts. That's Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea,
I'm the
there.
Only one who comes in.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe, I don't know. Is Drew come on?
Yeah, Drew comes in.
Yeah, he seems like he's a...
Drew comes in. You comes in. Yeah, there's some guests who come in that people have different reactions. Well, some people are worried about COVID, and some other people are worried about movement. Like, they're lazy. Like, they like hanging out. And this is this is kind of how you can tell the lazy people from the more motivated people.
Yeah.
First off, everybody in my world who has to come in to get paid, like all the automotive workers, builders, and guys like that, they've never missed a day.
Yeah.
So they come in because they don't get paid if they don't come in.
Right.
The other people who will get paid if they don't come in, that group's been sort of split.
Yeah.
Because they're sort of like teachers. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm kind of used to this thing.
Well, then you've got shows like with Garagos. Does Garagos come in?
Garagos comes in as much as he physically can.
Because I was like, who's busier than that guy? Especially
nobody,
when this is sort of a hobby.
Nobody,
for him.
but he does come in quite often. And the thing that's funny is the least fearful COVID people I know would have to be Garagos, Mike August, and Dr. Drew and me. I may be at the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah.
I've done nothing.
Yeah.
I've not even washed my hands. So, but Garagos doesn't give two shits about it either, and neither does Drew. Somehow the busy, successful guys don't seem to care that much about it. The less successful, less busy people seem to be the ones with their panties in a bunch.
So, well, we need more testing.
Yeah, we need more testing. That's what I figured out. All right. So, Lance Butler is going to come in here, and he runs a new auction, Stratus Auctions, and they're going online soon, but I don't know if we have a hard start set.
I know we're gonna get all the details on it, but they got some cool cars coming up that we want to get into as well, and they're going to explain the whole how the auction's going to work. And
and so what the reason we're interested, and the reason Matt and I always sort of have our ear to the ground when we talk about cars is what you're looking for is comps. You always hear comps in real estate. If you watch those real estate shows, they go, well, one sold down the street and it got $1,200 a square foot, and that one was not as nice as this one, you know, or whatever it is. And you start to you start to kind of put together comps. And comps for a Dino Ferrari, comps for even a Daytona Ferrari, comps for sure, Gullwing Mercedes, comps for even like a Miura S, and comps for even like a NSX, Acura, things like that. You can, or BMW E46 M3, you know, you can start to put together comps. And those comps, they'd be pretty dead nuts on. And if you don't believe me, at a certain point, a Mercedes Gullwing was $100,000. That was 1989 or whenever it was. And they were all $100,000. Yeah. There wasn't one that was $200,000. I mean, you save any weird aluminum body, whatever special fitted luggage thing, but they're all that. And a Dino Ferrari was $100,000 in 1991, and they're all $100,000. And now at some point they're all $250,000, and now they're all $400,000 or $350,000 to $400,000. That's how it works. That's how comps work. So if you own a Dino Ferrari and it's you know, you go, it's in B condition and it's good shape and has had one respray or whatever, you could probably guess within $15,000 what that thing is worth.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, that's fair.
If you own a Clayton Cunningham 300ZX IMSA GTO car, and there's five other examples on the planet, maybe six, you have no idea what the car is worth. Now, you can take sort of off comps, and what off comp people do is they go, well, I don't know how much Paul Newman's fire suit is worth, but Jimi Hendrix's guitar sold for,
right.
And you kind of go, not exact. Well, Steve McQueen's windbreaker sold for, you know, and you go, it's good, kind of, but it's not quite. It's not a comp, like an apples-to-apples kind of comp. So very rare for us when it comes to some of these cars that we have, are there any comps sold? And again, you can people start to cobble together estimates and prices, and usually people who have been around sort of know what it is, but still there is no example of one selling, and now one is going to sell.
Yeah, now is one's going to sell, and there's a few out there, and it helps to sort of determine price. But yeah, up to this point, the best we can do is say, well, you know, we saw a Tommy Kendall Roush Mustang sell, you know, similar era, similar type of car. You know, although it may have been a championship car or not, you know, we start to pick apart those type of things and go, well, does that give us an idea? Maybe not the down to $15,000, but maybe a decimal point, you know, like you're talking about what's, you know, something could come up, somebody's helmet can come up and go, is it $10,000 or is it $100,000?
Right.
You know? And without any idea, you don't know, but this kind of gives us an idea, but I'd like to see what they feel like could be the estimate on this car.
I would, too. Do you think we'll hear one?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm going to ask many times.
Well, I got a...
Well, we do know a little bit sort of privately what some of these cars are moving around at.
Or being asked to move around at.
Right.
Let me think if they're actually selling. All right. First 15 seconds for JB Weld, proud sponsor, CarCast, epoxy adhesive brand used by both pros and DIYers, trusted for 50 years, and it's available at jbweld.com and retailers everywhere. All right, are we going to play the hypothetical stoplight game, Max Zapata?
We sure are. Here we go.
The hypothetical stoplight game. Brought to you by J.B. Weld.
Well, I'm in such a hurry tonight, but I'm gonna have to stop at this light. On the left, I got a van with big wheels. On the right, I got a pickup in teal. Van to the left of me, teal truck to the right. Here I am, stuck at a light behind you.
All right, Matt. All right.
Yeah.
You have a crack in your bumper.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, you can repair that using JB Weld. 8-step instructions are on their website, so you set your ways to AutoZone to grab that JB Weld plastic bonder. You pull up to a stoplight, have to choose between two lanes. Which lane gets you there faster? Round one. Do you pull up behind the gravel truck with a double load, or the city bus with a bike on front.
How do you know there's a bike on front?
You saw it earlier.
You passed him earlier.
Yeah, I passed him. All right, so here's the problem is the bus is going to have multiple stops, potentially multiple stops. They don't signal, especially if it's an LA bus. They pull out in front of you. They cause lots of accidents. But this is why I'm going to get behind that stupid bus. Because that gravel truck is throwing off gravel and it drives me nuts. I was just on the 405 the other day and I can hear it. I hear it all over the truck. I feel it all over, digging my windshield and my paint.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't have the clear bra. The clear
I just got my
protection.
Windshield cracked all the way through from one of those.
Yeah. So this is going to be the first time ever you're going to agree with me. Get behind the bus. It's too dangerous behind the. It's going to cost a fortune.
Chris, I need to know. This is a tough one for me. The exhaust on the bus.
Ooh, is it clean gas?
No, for a million years, the bus exhaust was just down a foot above the ground.
I bet your school bus had that.
A huge plume of black smoke. And some genius, probably the same guy, figured we should have a urinal in the porta potty. That same genius at some point went, why don't we just pipe it up so it comes out at the 8-foot mark and doesn't blow into everyone's windshield?
Yeah, that's
so I need to know the exhaust route.
This is a top exhaust.
Top exhaust.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, it takes a big man, and you're lucky. You're lucky because, you know, when I've been talking to you on the phone, I've been going for walks. I've been walking through this area where there's just wagon trains of these gravel trucks going by because they're doing some kind of big project up the road. And I watched one go by me the other day, and there's one thing I'm so fixated on. Like, I watched, like, someone was in like a 93 Honda Civic, and I watched a gravel truck slowly going by under the overpass and the Honda Civic behind it. And I was just watching the profile of it in slow motion. And that triangulated piece of I-beam that comes out 3 feet is exactly the neck height of the person that's driving the Honda. And the hood is exactly as long as that thing protrudes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all someone has to do is bang that Honda person, and that battering ram is going to decapitate them. They don't even have reflectors on them. There's just a huge rusty metal thing that just protrudes the exact height of your fucking neck. And there's nothing we can do about it, and there's nothing in it, and they're all over the highway, and people are they're on the freeway. People are constantly getting rear-ended.
Oh yeah,
that thing is just a killer protruding piece of steel. By the way, you could take this building, and I'm telling you, I know engineering. You could take this entire building and set it on that one thing, and it wouldn't flex 3/16 of an inch.
No, that thing is massive. It's meant to back into walls with your semi-truck.
You could take a M1 Abrams tank and run it up against that thing, and it would just shred the tank. Like, that is not moving. If you're on the freeway, and that person is, this gravel truck's in front of you, and somebody's texting behind you, you're just going to be crushed.
Well, hopefully it goes quickly. They should put a sticker on it that says, good luck, buddy. By the way, Chris, where'd you find this image where he's got more mud flaps on this goddamn thing than any vehicle on the planet, yet the rocks are going to be flying out the top of this thing? It's all mud flap on this truck.
The idea that we live in a state where it's illegal not to have a front license plate, but these things roam the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles at will. Like, they are over the road.
You're guaranteed to see them on the 5.
Why? What? Okay, you're right. You're right. I hate to admit it. He's right. He's right.
All right. Oh, wait, wrong sound. That's the only one I have.
Yes.
There you go, man.
Finally.
I'm so used to pressing the other button.
It's insane in our safety-laden world that these things are all over the place with the thing that just protrudes. It protrudes 3 feet, and it's a steel battering ram. And there's no light on it. There's never a reflector on it.
No tape. No.
When you're coming up behind it, you can't tell the depth because it's rusted out and half paint peeled, and you don't know it. It's weird, right? But anyway, fuck you with all your other stupid rules. Like, you don't have side markers on. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Thank you, douche. All right. He's right.
He's right.
He's right.
Final Destination 8 writers. We have a new way for you to kill off some characters.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, right.
Let's go to the next round. You have the Gordon Murray T50.
Yeah.
In one leg. Like it. Or the McLaren Speedtail.
Mm-hmm.
Put up the both rears for you.
Yeah.
The T50's got the fan with
the
vacuum
it's got
the in
fan.
It. Right. That's nice.
Yeah.
I don't know what the McLaren Speedtail is.
It's a longer, it's like a 720S, but with a longer tail specific for high speed. Look at that.
Yeah. It's basically Moby Dick.
Yeah.
Nice. And it probably is out to set the, you know, see
well,
if we can get to.
I don't know what neighborhood you got me cruising in right now, but it's good. It's good. But it's a very good neighborhood to be in.
Yeah.
I feel like my Lightning's going to fit right in. They're going to think I'm the pool man or something cruising through there.
I've not seen one of those T50s.
It's not even out yet. I'm getting behind the T50, I can't wait to see that fan go on. So I'm following the T50. For however long my Lightning can keep up.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to use your own logic against you. There's a lot of those gravel trucks out there throwing gravel around.
Yeah.
That T50 doesn't have a tail, has like a big fan that sucks all the air underneath the car and then creates downforce. I'm going to worry about one of those pieces of gravel getting sucked up into that fan.
Firing a projectile.
And fired like an air cannon when they test jet engines.
Yeah.
Boom, right into the windshield.
You're probably right.
It wouldn't be even into the windshield, it'd be in the radiator.
Be in the radiator.
Of your Lightning, spring a small hole and probably slowly overheat and either blow a head gasket or seize the engine. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah. Can I fix a radiator with JB Weld?
Ooh, that's true. Yeah,
check out jbweld.com.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
MacGyver crack an egg in there? And he's like, the egg will cook. It'll fill the hole. I'm like, I don't know how that works.
That sounds perfect.
There was a MacGyver episode where he cracked eggs in the radiator, and it would cook the egg and fill the hole.
That's so perfect.
Of course, it's pressurized, so I don't know how that happens. But I don't think MacGyver, he knows a lot, but he doesn't know shit about poached eggs.
All right, last round.
I think it would just float around the top, too.
Fill the hole.
I'd probably go into the catch overflow hopper.
Yeah, who wrote that episode? Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Exactly.
All right, here's the last round. You could either pull up behind the Polaris Slingshot,
mm-hmm.
paper plates, helmets, and gloves on both riders,
mm-hmm.
or the Harley Davidson Touring Road Glide. With the speakers blasting. This is that Harley that Adam always talks about. All the accessories. It looks top heavy.
Does it have the training wheels on it?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
So my first question is, because we were just in Chicago, is what terrible music, as loud as possible, are each one of those guys playing for the world to hear? Because that could be a factor. Mm. And do I want to, you know, get behind song A or song B? Do you have any thoughts on the song?
I don't know.
No,
I don't
nobody
know
knows.
In
no.
There.
All right.
No.
So
unintelligible song.
I kind of feel like the guys on the and the Slingshot are going to be peacocking a little bit more as far as what we've seen in Chicago. So I'm just going to get behind the Harley guy. Maybe he's got one of those bite the weenie contests to go to.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Wait, which one you said you were wrong about?
Wait a minute. How am I you're
behind
sorry.
The slingshot.
I'm you're, behind the slingshot.
You're behind, oh, well, I didn't tell you, but I know the songs they're playing.
Yeah.
So one of them is Deep Purple, Highway Star.
Mm.
And that's what the guy in the Harley's playing.
Okay.
And that's you know that song?
Yeah.
That song's about rocking out and kicking ass, and no one's going to take his car, and he's got the big fat tires on it, and it's that guy. So the Harley guy is playing that song.
I already forgot which one I said I was going to be behind, but okay, I got
you. The slingshot guy is pumping some real deep cut rap, and he's just out showboating, like we saw in Chicago. So.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, man.
All right.
Yeah.
Tough run, Matt, but
I got my win for the
You got
year.
Your first win.
Yeah.
You got the gravel truck win. Yeah, good job. Here I am, stuck in a light behind you. Stuck in a light behind you. Here I am, stuck in a light behind you. Brought to you by JB Weld. Well, if you got a DIY project to get through and you want to save some money, I would suggest JB Weld. Yeah, we use JB Weld all the time over here. They have the epoxy, but they also have the putty. They have the part where you break it off. It's like plastique.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they call it plastic explosives? And then they go, it's plastique.
I don't know why they kind of French it up or whatever they're doing. But
it's two part, and you just sort of put it together and knead it with your fingers.
Yeah.
Stromer used it to fix a tray in his wet saw the other day.
Explode?
Hmm?
Did it explode after?
No, that's different. Yeah. Hmm? Yeah, let's get our guests going. They're a proud sponsor, and we appreciate them. They're great. I know the owner. These guys have been trusted for 50 years plus. Proudly made in the USA. Keep JB Weld in your toolbox, kitchen drawer, craft room, metal, wood, plastic, more. Don't glue it, man. JB Weld it. Yeah. Available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon, Michaels, and more.
I've used JB Weld and have blown up C4, but that's true. For another day.
Lance Butler has joined us. Lance has himself a new auction, Stratus Auctions, and he's wearing a cool shirt because he's got the Turbo Le Car, which is one of the most 80s, coolest pieces. I've almost bought one a couple of times, and mid-engine, totally cool piece, except for when you get up and put your head in them and you see that 80s interior, you're like, it was the 80s.
Yeah.
Good to see you, Lance.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah, the R5 Turbo. So this is a friend's company, Jalopnik. So one of the cars that we're actually offering on the platform. So
it's interesting that breed of, I guess it'd be Group 5 rally sort of inspired or flat out rally car from the 80s, early 90s. That stuff has gone up in value maybe more than any other sector of cars.
The rally cars have gone nuts.
Yeah, you get these wicked designs in period, there are a lot of very loose regulations. I mean, when you're looking at Group B, some of those cars right now, incredibly valuable because you're looking at cars like the R5 Turbo. You're looking at cars that evolved into like the S4 that has turbocharged, supercharged.
Oh, I think
cars.
I said I mean, Group C. I should have said Group B.
No. You were talking about Group 4, Group 5.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. There's too many groups. There's too many associations.
Yeah.
There's too many cars now. Like people go, like, which SUV you drive? And I go, the Infiniti. And they go, which one? I go, the X5. It's an 8.
Q something.
You
told me nothing.
There's too many. When I was young, we had to remember Mustang SVT. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's SVT. About all. Yeah. That's about all we had.
Well, except I know you mean Z8. SVO, but there is an SVT.
No, I mean SVT.
Okay.
Don't I?
Just want to make sure. Well, if you're thinking four banger turbo SVO.
Oh, that's SVO.
Yeah, yeah.
See,
I know what you're thinking. But the SVT was the Cobras.
Oh, that was the Cobra. That's right.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
So, Lance, you got some interesting cars coming up here, and we brought you on Twitter. Turn your mic a little clockwise or something. There
How's
you
that?
Go. That's better.
Great.
So we're looking, especially at that 89 Nissan 300 ZX Turbo IMSA GTO car, and we have one. I have one, so we thought that would be an interesting car to talk about. But also, one of Matt and my favorite cars, and a car that we think is kind of on the rise, is the 93 Jag XJ220, which we've always thought, again, don't put your head inside the car.
I was just going to say, talk about your head and
stand outside
it
and really look at the shape of that car. An underappreciated supercar came out.
Yeah.
Jag said, we're building a supercar that put a V6 in it. It was before the Ford GT, and people are like, V6, come on, your Jag, where's the 12? You know, and now people are coming around to that car.
Yeah, and this is an interesting color, the version of the one that you have.
On the
it's
red.
Not the normal, you know, a lot of silver ones, it seems like, but this metallic red that's going on is nice.
Yeah, the Monza red. No, it's a beautiful car. Unfortunate. If you're Adam's height, it's a bit of a pain to peek your head into. So somebody.
Yeah, we're not worried about that.
Yeah, exactly. I think when you're driving next year 220, you're not necessarily worried about how comfortable you are. It's a great look, an amazing car. So
it's still a timeless looking exterior wise for sure. Although this interior is not bad, it's a timeless looking supercar. If somebody came out with this today, with different wheels, you would say, ooh, I like that. What's that? Like, they just nailed it on the exterior design.
Agreed.
Are you not a fan of the wheels?
It dates the car.
Okay? I will say this. In a world where the wheels kind of can be deals wheels breaker, like some cars, like you take like a street going stock BMW M1 and you go, oh, the wheels are funky, like they look they look weird. The M1 Pro cars look amazing when they put the BBSs on them, but when they have this sort of weird 80s whatever, a little bit of a deal breaker. These wheels, it's a little bit of a timestamp on the car, but they look good. I would say they do.
It puts a date on it. So you want this car with these wheels because then it says XJ220. But if McLaren came out with a new car that shaped almost like this, or there was the new Jag supercar, you change the wheels, you put this car next to it, you wouldn't know what year this car came from.
Yeah, and these cars are a lot of fun just because you look at these. We were talking about comps earlier where it's XJ220, the EB110. And in the same era, you also have the McLaren F1, a little bit later, CLK GTR, and Porsche GT1. So these and the EB110s, completely different platform. You get a lot of supercars today where it's kind of generally within a similar spec and doesn't feel like it has much soul. But you look at the XJ220, you look at the EB110, you look at its comps and other cars of the era, and they're their own spirit. They have their own life. And I think this is a really fun example. It's got the Monza red over the sand interior, and it's nearly untouched.
Are you putting estimates out when these things come out? Are there
is there an estimate on this? Explain how the auction is going to work.
Yeah, so we don't actually have estimates on the cars right now. In some cases, we think it's a bit limiting to have an estimate. So if anybody reaches out specifically, I think you guys even chatted about the 300ZX, we kind of give a rough generalization to interested buyers. But I think the fun of the auction is to see where it goes. A lot of people, if you're looking in the market for an XJ220, you know what you're willing to spend. You know generally what they're worth, right? Some of the cars are a bit higher mileage, might not have the service history. This car is a very low mileage car, really well kept, known history from new. It even has the diagnostic laptop. So there are a couple things about this car that make it a bit more special than some of the other cars you might see on the market at any time.
Sweet, free Atari. Diagnostic tool.
Do the cars have reserves or do some, is that a car by car situation or is there a rule?
Yeah, we're happy
that
to put a reserve on a car. It's one of the things we want to have happy sellers. An in-person auction. They like to push a lot of no reserve cars. It's exciting because when you're in the room, when you're in person, it's fun to see no reserve because you know the highest bidder is going to take it home. But also that leaves some sellers up in the air where they were excited to bring a car to auction and they might not have gotten the result that they had wanted. And it's not an actual statement of market value if there weren't enough people in the room to see that car at that time.
How long is your auction go for once they go live?
So it'll be 7 days.
Oh, 7 days.
Yeah, so 7-day live auction. The reason why we've got this lull right now, we wanted to launch and really focus on getting registered bidders. So if somebody is going to buy an XJ220, if somebody's going to buy a 300ZX IMSA GTO car, these are big cars. It's not like we're launching with $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 cars where we can kind of push out there and people get used to the platform. We want people to understand how the auction works, what cars we have, because the first time that they use the platform might be for a $300-500 million+ car.
Okay, so Stratus Auction is going to be an online auction. There are going to be 7-day auctions. You are sort of curating the cars that will be available on the website, right?
And correct.
So it's not just anything can list. It's not eBay, of course, right?
It's
a curated group of cars. Yep. And then what does it take to list a car? What does it take to buy a car? How does sort of the fee structure work?
Yeah, so it's all very simple in theory. So a lot of our team comes from the in-person auction space. So most of our employees come from in-person auction plus private collections. So there's a different level of service that comes from private sales that I think it gets lost in the in-person auction simply because you're selling 200 cars over 2 days, or in some cases with the bigger auction companies, you're 1,000 cars in a week, like we see at Kissimmee or in Scottsdale. Very straightforward. For consignment, we have specialists who are always out there curating inventory, trying to find cars that we can bring to the platform. But also, if somebody has a car, they can simply just reach out through the platform, inquire, see if we can give them an estimate, and talk about what that would look like to represent it.
You have a 1990 Nissan MPT 90, which is coming up as well. I guess I call those GTP cars, but
correct.
I can't remember. Should we find that car, the Nissan MPT? I guess it's on the website. I haven't seen that.
Yeah, no, we actually had just listed it yesterday.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. So much fun to be able to represent both cars because they have the same power plant, so twin turbo V6. But completely different way of using that. So
yeah.
This is more of GTP Group C, and then obviously the 300ZX is a bit of saloon.
It's always funny when you talk to some people, like I think I was talking to Bruce Kennepa, may have one of these. And he's like, oh, you should buy it. These are easy. These are the easiest. They drive so nice.
Have you ever driven a GTP or Group C car?
No.
These, I mean.
But I did enter a modern day professional Trans Am race and got to drive a C7R Corvette. And the modern stuff, as freaky as it is a little easier to drive. It's a little more normal.
Yeah.
They have stuff figured out a little more. It's not like this happens and don't ignore it. You know,
there was also six people working on that car.
I know. It was a much easier car to drive, even though it had 900 horsepower. It was still easier.
Yeah, the intimidation factor with this is definitely there. I think with Porsche, they did a really good job of making a car that's still manageable. So if you get into a 962, it's something that's manageable at six or seven tenths.
That's what I was here. Like, the guys go, oh, the 962 is a lot easier to drive than a 935. And I'm like, oh, it looks so big and scary. It's like, no, it's kind of easy. It's more manageable or something, more balanced.
Yeah.
No, it's a mid-engine car.
Yeah, right? Probably more traction. There's probably a lot of that going on.
Adam,
more
that
aero.
Is Canepa's.
Oh, that is Canepa's.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I'm glad I didn't go. Canepa's trying to sell me this piece of shit. I'm not biting.
Screw that car.
No,
he's like, no,
these ones are an absolute blast to drive. I had the chance to drive Chassis 6 a few years back, and it's just insane power. Once the boost kicks in, there's a bit of a lag, but once the turbo comes in, you kind of question why you got on the throttle as hard as you did.
It's a 5-speed car, right?
Correct, yeah.
And it's a... Yeah, ZF transmission, right? Yeah, I guess.
It's got the Hewlin.
Yeah. I mean, it's a... Yeah. All right, transaxle.
So tell us about the 300ZX that's coming up for sale, because some of the notes say never been crashed and never needed any major repairs. But we know two cars crashed, and we're trying to figure out which cars were those.
Well, there's a guy in Japan that has the V8, the other V8. I have one
Which
of the
we
V8
just learned
cars.
About.
Yeah. Sean, mechanic Sean's known about for a while. I think they sent me a picture. That car crashed, and then there was a big crash. I can never figure out if that was Road America or something like that, but there was a big crash between two of them.
Yeah.
And then one got rebuilt. Maybe that's Millen's.
Yeah.
It's always a little sketchy. I can't figure out which is which.
Yeah, it's always tough when you talk about race cars because that was their sole purpose. Obviously, we're not talking about the XJ220. It was like it had never been wrecked. I mean, it was assumed that nobody would buy it if it had been wrecked.
Right.
So with a race car, I mean, that was their sole purpose, to get out and race, and they weren't thinking of collectability at the time. So chassis 2, we've got the luxury of knowing that this car is the car because it's the only one that was outfitted with a passenger seat for ride-alongs post-career.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so... It's immediately recognizable, and so it's a pretty fun car. It's fun local history, kind of same with the GTP car. They were both built in L.A., El Segundo, Torrance, but more specifically. And we had Steve Millen come by a couple weeks ago. We had Andy Bondio talk about the car. He knows the car very well. So it's a car that has had known history. Hadn't been wrecked, which is kind of it's a big selling point for when you're talking about motorsports. In a lot of cases, the collectability, the value of the car comes from its racing history. And when you say, you know, that this car, generalization, you know, this car won in 89, 90, 91, but then 92 it had a massive wreck and they had to completely redo the chassis and give it a new engine components. It's like, well, how much of the car is the car that actually won the race And right. is yes. it exciting to a
but
buyer?
But also, is it rebuilt and sort of taken off the road or rebuilt and unsuccessful? But if you say, hey, it's rebuilt and then won Sebring, you're like, hey, well, I'm still interested again. You know, so it kind of happens. What's the history after the rebuild? Does it continue to race? It does play a part.
Yeah, we know this car because we've seen it at Long Beach. We've seen it at Laguna Seca. It's a super fast car and wins many of the vintage events. So it's well sorted, as they say.
Yeah, and this one ran 89 and 90, and then in 90 it was actually extended. The frame was extended slightly for a longer wheelbase, so it was a bit more stable. So it's just got a fun bit of history with that as well, where it was part of the first round of 300ZXs that were introduced in 89. They weren't quite as successful. They were kind of ironing out some of the kinks, high-speed stability, braking, and they evolved this car to eventually become a winning car, which is pretty great.
Yeah.
And it's the first one to ever be publicly offered.
These are cool cars to get. Like, you guys should go on to the Stratus. It's stratus.auction. So that's the website, www.stratus.auction. Go there, check it out, and look at the photos, because these cars are so complex that we even had one of the original builders come by, and he told us, hey, at the time, your car, with transaxle car, some more complexities, he's like, this car was like $500,000 to build back in the mid-90s, early 90s.
Yeah,
it was just a really expensive
chromoly tube-frame car. Yeah, you just look at the car, and you just go, how could you possibly build this car for under hundreds of thousands of dollars?
Like, yeah, it's like, you can't.
Yeah, sometimes, sometimes you get up, you see a Mustang or Corvette from the era, and you pop the hood and you see the small block under there with maybe like a Holley carb or something, and you kind of go, I could see building this car or not having it be extraordinarily expensive. But man, you take a look at these Clayton Cunningham cars and you just go, ugh, that took a lot to build that car.
Yeah.
And for me, there's kind of two prices for a car. There's kind of a price of, well, what's the history? And did Steve McQueen own it or whatever it is? And is it the Bullet Mustang or something like that? And which is a fine example of a car that's not worth anything. I mean, that car's worth $11,000 minus the history. But then there's some cars like these Cunningham Z's where they're worth $200,000-$300,000 all day long just in parts, like just literally, like you could not do that car for under $500,000. Yeah. I bought mine way back. No one really cared about them. I just looked at the car and went, that is so much car for $100,000. Like you could never, you couldn't redo the engine for $100,000. Like no one cared about the history. No one really cared about vintage. You know, it was a 90s car. No one really had those thoughts. 90s cars, even 80s cars, weren't even really vintage until like 10 minutes ago. I literally just bought it because I went, there's so much there that I'll, if you recycled that car, you'd get your money back in chromoly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, this one comes with a spare engine and you're looking at it. Okay. Well, Roush rebuilt the engine. Both are freshly built power plants. But yeah, like you said, I mean, what do you even do with the engine? What's the value of the engine when you can't find another?
Roush rebuilt the Nissan engine?
Just more recently, yeah.
Yep. Oh, Roush builds those for those guys.
Yep.
I would, I don't know why you're making a noise, but I'm going to buy that engine off whoever wins this auction because I need one for
car. I think of the Willie T doc, and I think of you're saying Roush built the competitor engine. I'm like, well, today, sure. But back then, Willie would be like, yeah, he rebuilt the engine, but he did a little something. It's a little underpowered because he built the Nissan engine for a competitor team. And Willie likes to bring up.
The guys who own the car said they have Roush rebuild those their engines. Yeah. They're in the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
I need to get a Z engine rebuilt too. I think I'm going to send it to them. So what do we think? Estimates, ballpark thoughts.
Broad estimate.
Broad estimate.
You don't have to ruin your thoughts.
It's one of those things where always happy to share estimates with people that are serious buyers interested in the platform. Okay, so when you look at this. What do you think it's worth? What are the competitors? What you were kind of talking about comps earlier.
It was funny. Sean, who's over at the other shop, knows a lot about cars, actually surprised me some months ago when I said to him, what's your favorite car around here, Sean? Because I didn't know if he was going to say a BRE Roadster or something like that. I had three or four cars I was thinking about, and he pointed at that Cunningham Z, and he said, that's my favorite car.
I thought he might even said the Triumph.
He's hardcore mechanic. And I said, why? And he goes, I remember this when I was a kid. I used to see those things race or whatever when I was younger. And I thought, made me think, well, A, it's an amazing piece. Like, it looks good. And also, as time marches on, just like we were talking about with the 80s rally cars, like, no one cared a few years ago. Now it's like everyone's whipped up. Because the people like Sean are going, I remember seeing that car back in the day.
That's the story. I just sold my company, and now
I got some money to play around with. So I said to Sean,
I'm going to scratch down a number right now.
I said to Sean the other day,
that's my estimate.
What do you think that V8 car's worth? And he went, $740. He said, and I said, oh, okay, I was thinking 750 because I was going, I said, Sean, you got to go in 50 increments. They don't do that.
I like that. Yeah, you definitely want to. If you think that way, come on and bid at the platform. That's great.
Yeah, and it's a high end number or highish end for that car, but I don't think it's unreasonable. And also, my feeling with cars like that, and I've always had this feeling from kind of a investment standpoint, which is, I bought a Lambo 400 GT 2 plus 2, maybe a 67 or something like that, a million years ago. I bought it on eBay. And it was on eBay. It had a day left, and it was at like $94,000 or something. And I said, I called the guy. It was in Pennsylvania. And I said, I want this car. And he said, okay. I said, well, what's it going to cost it? Shut this auction down right now, and I just take the car. And he's like, $116,000, he said. And Matt would have haggled with him, but I didn't. I just said, fine, $116,000, shut it down. And he did, and I bought that car, and I had it for several years, and Matt sold it for like $780,000 or something at like the height of the market. And I was, my feeling is when I paid $116,000 for it, it was more probably than I should have paid. I probably could have got it for $107,000 or $109,000 or something like that.
I would have.
And it was more than the market, too. It was more than the market. Yeah. And so my feeling with certain cars.
That guy was so happy that day.
I know. He's not happy if he's listening now. But my feeling with cars and other items are sort of like, maybe you think this car's worth $675,000, but maybe you pay $725,000 for it and you go, well, you paid $50,000 too much. But get back to me in 3 years when it's 1.2. Like, then who's quibbling over the 50? That's kind of my, sometimes it just kind of takes what it takes.
Yeah.
If you think something is going to cross a million, I think these cars would cross a million in 5 years, no problemo. Well, then what's the difference between 695 and 715? If in fact it's going past a million, you want to get the car. That's the way I've always kind of approached it.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the right cars, obviously, at any point you can say you buy them at a premium, but it's if you buy the right example of that car, the best example of that car, it's you can't dispute that it's always going to be the best example. So whatever the car's value is, however they fluctuate in the future, you know that you've always got the leverage of knowing you've got the best or one of the best examples. So it's always tough to think of car values because it's not quantifiable enough to consider as an investment, but a lot of people obviously have them as investment tools. But then there's also the emotional, the sentimental component of owning a car, owning something that you want, which JDM cars more recently are significantly more in value because people can associate with them. I mean, a lot of younger collectors who now have money, like you said, well, I saw the 300ZX running in period, and that's something that excites me versus seeing something that's maybe vintage Can-Am or a bit older than that when you look at 60s and 50s cars.
What number did you write down, Matt?
For this car here, not your car. For
car. Sorry, I didn't really answer the question.
For this car, I wrote down 650.
I think it'll go a little higher than that.
Yeah, I'm just going for a...
Yeah, you know, that's a good price. It's hard to tell. They don't change hands, and
I don't want to give a range. I just picked a number.
Then they move. You know, these the way these cars go is they don't change hands, and so there's no incremental rise like mm-hmm. you can see with a NSX or something like that, where it's just sort of, oh, things creeping up, or like your E46 M3.
Yeah.
You know, it goes from 25 and now they're 30 and now they're 35 and they just kind of keep sort of creeping up. These cars go for, that thing was 275. It's like, the guy wants 800. Like, yeah. What happened? Yeah. What happened was 4 years. That's what happened. Like you don't.
Well, yeah, supply and demand. We've not seen another one being sold publicly. Other cars that have transacted. It's really, you know, I've owned this car, and I've had a couple of people reach out saying that, hey, at some point, whenever you go to sell, I'll buy it. And so it never really gets a chance to hit the market.
Right.
So you never really get to see what the true market value is.
Right.
Because you don't know what somebody's willing to spend.
And I think it also probably has a comp adjacent kind of effect on other race cars from that era, late 80s, early 90s. You know, we talked about sort of like the Kendall Roush Mustang
yeah.
and stuff like that. That's like, it's not the same, but it's kind of in the neighborhood a little bit and starting to sort of color that world and get some ideas.
I think in the racing car world, it also becomes pretty important with what you do with the car after you've acquired it. You know, mm-hmm. are you taking it out? Are you racing it? Is it going to events? I think the right events can increase the value, but also doing something with the car does sort of prove some maintenance and some upkeep on the car. And the fact that this car that you're selling was at Long Beach and kicked everyone's ass and then was in Monterey, and I think he won his class in, there as well, the group there.
Not in the last one, I think, but he won. Yes, he's won yep. at Monterey. We saw yeah. that car. We saw that car at Long Beach. He was getting down on lap 5 going down Shoreline. He was several hundred yards ahead of like whatever yeah. Roush Mustang or Mercure or whatever the thing was falling behind him, or the Chevy. What was the Chevy with the front seat and the back seat? The Beretta.
Yeah,
that was Beretta. A Tommy Kendall car.
Yeah.
But I actually talked to the guy, drove the car, and I was like, God, you're hauling ass. And I think he said that at the end of Shoreline, you're going faster in the Z car than the Indy cars were going.
Yeah.
And I was okay. like, wow. I was like, yeah. well, the thing, and people kind of go, what? You know, so sometimes it's like when you go, the street version of this car has more horsepower than the race version yeah. of it. And people go, what? It's
yeah,
like,
yeah,
yeah because yeah. they have rules.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, then you have to figure out how to stop going into turn one in the 300ZX. Yeah. Or an Indy right. car can just sail right through on aero.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. yeah.
It's a good.
His top speed was higher, yeah. but by the time he had a break and go into the turn, that Indy car is.
Good luck.
You know, already a lap ahead.
And, you know, who knows? But in a car like that Z car, you get to the end of that Shoreline, which I've driven in slow motion many times. It's long. I mean, I'm picturing some of the cars I've driven. You could easily be up at the 170, 180 speed at the end of that, at the end
That's
of Shoreline.
That's crazy with a track made out of asphalt and cement.
I know.
Because there's yeah. not a lot of runoff over there. But this is a good car for vintage racing as well. If you're looking to do some racing and you want to get into and you want to qualify for Monterey, this car should get accepted.
Yeah, and that's
oh,
one of the
it has been, yeah.
Yeah, it's been accepted. A lot of IMSA racing, a lot of the cars were just American-built cars, stayed in the U.S. The great thing about the 300ZX program is a little bit more internationally recognized because they won at Le Mans, they won at Daytona, they won at Sebring, and they're cars that, yeah, mainly raced in the U.S. with IMSA, but then when they were opened up to be able to run at Le Mans, they completely dominated class. So
yeah,
it just opens up the market for a lot of people who may be European collectors, Japanese collectors, who might not look at just an American-based series.
Mm. All right, let me hit Madison Reed Mr. here. Madison Reed Mr. Well, now Madison Reed has made hair coloring for women for a long while, and they make really good stuff. My wife loves this stuff. And they did that for a while, and then they said, you know, what about the fellas? What about the fellas that want a little more pepper and a little less salt, but they don't want that shoe polish look. They want the natural look. Well, thus was born Madison Reed Mr. So it's easy. I've done this. You get a little kit, put the gloves on, put a little dollop in your hand, and you get the right color. Go on the website and get the right color. Apply the color gel, then the activator. Wait 10 minutes, and you just rinse it out. You have a natural look. It works on your beard as well, and they'll deliver it right to your door. Madison Reed Mister. Right, Matt?
Yeah, go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's Madison Reed. It's Madison, R-E-E-D. MR.com, Mr.'s MR.com. Use code Corolla for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Corolla.
So if you guys want to check out the website, so there's a lot of interesting, I say interesting cars, because like to me, I love all cars, and like I love a Mercedes Gullwing, but I'm if one's coming up at auction, I don't go, oh, circle the calendar. I go, oh, it's 1.25 something or whatever. Like, I get it. But there's, you know, like the GTP car, like the 300ZX, there's some, there's a 924 GTR Porsche race car. There's some really interesting stuff coming up at the auction. And so we should give the plug one more time. Stratus Auction, that's the website, Stratus Auction.
Stratus.auction.
Yep, oh,
Stratus,
sorry,
yeah, Stratus.auction.
Sorry, yeah. Stratus, it's, I misread it. Stratus.auction, and the earliest stuff is coming up, what, September 16th, or when
Correct.
Is it going live?
Yeah, yep, so we start selling cars on the 16th, which means the 23rd is when we when the auctions actually close, so the 23rd, 24th, 25th.
So you can start bidding on the 16th.
Yep, start bidding on the 16th. We wanted to get a full range of cars. We have everything from a Volkswagen Beetle with only 124 miles on it,
wow,
which is excellent, all the way up to the GTP car, 300ZX, the XJ220. We wanted to kind of show, you know, what we were interested in selling, what we can do on the platform, because a few of the cars that we have, other auction companies might not take because they're a bit more high risk, but because we have lower overhead, we're online. There's a lot of different reasons why we can accept and have a bit more fun, take a bit more risk than other auction companies.
Well, Lance, thanks for joining us today. I'm going to be we're at the Tempe Improv coming up September 18th and 19th. We're doing live stand up there and podcast as well, and then Wise Guys Salt Lake City, that'll be October 2nd and 3rd, and you can go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/mcorolla, and watch some stand-up there. My book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, is out on Amazon and beyond. Check that out. Leave a review. I shall read it. And until next time, it's Adam Corolla for Lance Butler. Oh, yeah, sorry, your plugs.
Yeah, let me just hit one thing.
Nissan.
Yeah, you and I are going to be at the ZCon event September 15th, Tuesday, September 15th. We're going to do CarCast Live during the day. We're going to lock it in either 11 or 12.
Is Z a type of car?
It is. It is.
Datsun type?
It is. Well, not so much Datsun anymore.
Nissan type. Oh, good.
And then later that night, there's going to be the virtual unveiling of the new Z car. You're going to MC the U.S. debut. You're going to throw it to the video. They're going to show us the car, go through some of the specs. It's going to be cool. And then hopefully we'll get some information on as far as timing and horsepower and all that good stuff.
Yeah,
so September 15th in Tennessee, ZCon event. I think you can get tickets or figure it out at ZCon's website.
And until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Matt the Moderator, DeAndrea saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Let me tell you about Geico. Right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already be saving you. So what are you waiting for? You're waiting for your dog to make you breakfast in bed? Well, that's not going to happen. But saving money can. There's never been a better time now to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com for more information. That's geico.com.